Each year, thousands of Massachusetts residents go to court to ask a judge to do something controversial, commit someone they know to addiction treatment. Supporters say these involuntary commitments save lives, but opponents say forced treatment is ineffective and violates civil rights. WBUR's Deborah Becker begins our story on that this morning with a tour of the state's newest facility for the civilly committed, a former prison in Plymouth.
The Massachusetts Alcohol and Substance Abuse Center, or MASAC, at Plymouth is one of five places in the state where courts send patients who are civilly committed to treatment. Tom Neville is the MASAC superintendent.
So we're now walking into a dorm.
This minimum security prison-turned-addiction treatment facility started taking male patients 4 months ago.
They have access to a microwave over here. They can order things through a canteen.
Just can't believe how busy it is.
And there, a lot of the guys are at their lunch right now.
Neville says vans full of men arrive from courthouses all over the state at all hours of the day. On the day of our tour, the center's just about full. 250 men. They're all here because a judge has agreed that their substance use makes them dangerous to either themselves or others, so they are committed under the state law known as Section 35. They have not been charged with any crimes. They stay at Plymouth for 30 to 90 days in small rooms. There are photos on WBUR.org. The rooms are former cells with metal mesh on the windows and bunk beds.
As you can see, there are two man rooms that are bunk beds.
There are no large common areas. Some men congregate around TVs in hallways or in patients' rooms. The hallways are bustling and loud.
21 DeRice, please, 3353.
Staff, medical personnel, and patients are walking through. The 100 correction officers who work here monitor but do not lock the facility.
Guys, do you mind if we go through this way?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it locked at all times?
No.
No?
There's a control center here where the officers are always monitoring.
Outside, it's much different.
We do have a chapel here as well, so there's religious services available.
On the campus are several small buildings where the men go for classes, recreation, and addiction treatment. That is provided by 17 substance use counselors for which the department contracts with a private vendor.
The first phase is more of like an introductory phase, you know, identification, why you're here, what is your addiction. The second part of the classes are more towards the recovery aspect. And then the last phase is more the relapse prevention and reentry back into society. We're going to walk towards one of the program areas.
Okay. And it's called Pondside Meeting
House.
Yes. Near the pond.
It is very picturesque and... I mean, you are. You're in the middle of a state forest.
The facility is literally inside Miles Standish State Forest, a bucolic setting around this rundown complex of buildings built in the 1950s, which never had barbed wire fencing until now. Neville says now a fence is needed because several men ran away, or eloped, as he calls it, in the first 2 months after the center opened.
The initial reason it was put up the fence was basically the elopements. It's a bit of a deterrent for guys who just want to wander away and not participate in the program.
Among those who fled Plymouth this summer is 33-year-old Sean, who doesn't want his last name used for medical privacy reasons. He says when he was caught, after he ran from Plymouth, he was sent somewhere worse, a unit for convicted sex offenders at the Bridgewater State Prison.
So I'm a Section 35 on a civil commitment. And I'm housed next to someone who raped a mentally retarded 11-year-old girl and killed her. And the whole time he's threatening me, threatening my family. Like, these people are mentally ill.
Part of the reason Sean says he fled was because he was withdrawing from methadone, a medication used to treat addiction. Although many doctors recommend medication to treat addiction, it's not offered at Plymouth, which is not licensed to distribute it. Medication is available at some of the other Section 35 facilities. When we met with Sean at his home on Cape Cod a few days after he was released from Plymouth, he said the overall experience, which included solitary confinement, was traumatic.
I'm praying that I wake up and feel the same as I like before I went in there. I just feel different. I have a lot more anxiety. I feel scared. I feel like I'm going to wake up and be back there.
Sean is now seeing a counselor and trying to get back on addiction medication. Because of complaints like Sean's, prisoner advocates are interviewing some of the men at Plymouth and say they have concerns about the conditions there and about addiction treatment in a correctional setting. MESAC does have all the trappings of prison. The men arrive handcuffed. The patients wear orange jumpsuits, the new barbed wire, and padlocked so-called watch cells for short-term segregation. Nonetheless, proponents say civil commitments save lives.
If I didn't do the Section 35, I don't think my son would be alive right now.
Patty V. Meyer's 28-year-old son is currently at Plymouth. She's not allowed to visit him, but she has paid for him to call her almost every day. She says her son is grateful, even though he complains that the facility is dirty and crowded and that he's treated like an inmate.
He has to wear the same uniform as prisoners. He eats the same awful food as the prisoners. The prisoners did things wrong to get themselves where they are. My son just has a mental health issue, and so he has to be there because that's the only place he's safe right now.
What involuntary commitments show, according to critics, is that people are desperate. Leo Beletsky, an associate professor of law and health sciences at Northeastern University, says with opioid deaths skyrocketing, people are afraid and they'll disregard civil liberties to get help.
The treatment sector in the state, as well as nationally, is in dire need of reform. And the answer should not be to keep people by force in bad treatment, but to provide better treatment that is respectful and effective.
Massachusetts is one of 37 states that allow involuntary commitments. An estimated 6,500 people were committed under Section 35 in the last fiscal year. Department of Corrections spokesman Chris Fallon says he understands the civil liberties concerns, but it's a last resort.
This is the front line, and these are the guys that have checked themselves out of traditional treatment places. The families are at wit's end. They come to a place like this that we're going to try to keep them here as best we can.
Fallon says using a prison for this type of facility makes sense because the courts are involved in mandating care. He also says the men in Plymouth are treated compassionately, with a focus on drawing up discharge plans to help them stay out of treatment and out of prison. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.